going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
With the fourth pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the New England Patriots select Will Campbell, tackle, LSU.
High noon, Jones and Keefe, WEEI. You know what we're talking about. Reaction to the number four pick last night, the newest New England Patriot, Will Campbell, offensive lineman out of LSU. Is he a tackle? Is he a guard? Do you like the pick? Do you hate the pick? Is it TBD on where he's going to line up? You can weigh in all day long here, 617-779-7937. We'll play you some clips from Vrabel. And Will Campbell, who is scheduled for a photo op today.
Yeah, I think he's going to be at Gillette Stadium around 3 o'clock, taking a little picture, get the uniform. I don't know if we're going to find out the number today, because obviously last night for the photo, they just have like number one.
What should he go with?
69.
The nastiest number is what he
Although Strange is already that. That's a pretty cool jersey. Strange 69.
That is true.
So I don't know what he's going to go with. Was he 66 in college, I think?
Well, okay, so I was reading up on this. He was 66 at one point. Did he switch to 7 in his college career? I thought at some point he might have been number 7 is what I read.
Oh, because that's like an LSU thing,
correct,
right?
Yeah. One of their leaders. So maybe, thank you. So maybe at one point was he wearing number 7?
Maybe.
I don't know. As much as I've
I don't think he's even allowed to do that. Even with all the weird number changes in the NFL, I don't think a lineman can wear 7.
NFL, in the maybe NFL, maybe not. Yeah,
maybe. They changed the rules. They can wear different ones now, but I don't think that's an option.
So you can jump in on this. Keith likes it more than I do. I'm very much out on the pick because I'm pretty sold he won't be a tackle. If he is, then I'm wrong. But if he's a tackle, you think it's worth it?
Yes.
And I think you're more open-minded to him playing tackle than I am.
I've been called open-minded.
Yeah, you're more open-minded in general, Keith, is where I should have just left it there.
I would agree.
617-779-7937. JP is in North Providence. What's up, JP?
The vulture and the mongoose. I love the show. I'll go real quick. I know you're up against midday. Thank you. Why I like the pick, nicknames, and a great Keefspiracy. Why I like the pick, he's tough, he's snarly, and I heard he can eat homemade muffins. Nickname, I love C-Rex. Whoever came up with it, it's great. The whole line is going to be called Jurassic Park. If they do move him inside, they can call him Godzilla.
Godzilla.
Godzilla. There you go.
I'm sold.
All right. Pretty good.
That's well done. Yeah, Taters is,
nope. Taters is back to mashed potatoes. And my Keefspiracy, Patriots trade with Vegas, the 38th pick. Vegas takes Shador there. They get another second round and a third round pick.
Okay, where is Vegas?
Vegas is actually at 37, so I don't think they would need to do that.
They would need to trade down.
Let's stick with that. Call the whole offensive line Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
And then if he does happen to play guard, you can soften the blow by calling him Guardzilla. Sold.
So good.
Now I like it.
That is tremendous, JP.
Yep.
The text line is claiming they came up with C-Rex. I'm not saying they didn't, but C-Rex is such a good nickname.
No, somebody earlier today on the text line.
No, I know, but I'm saying the text line is taking credit for it.
Go ahead.
And that's the first place I saw it. It's very possible that C-Rex. It's such a good nickname. I'm skeptical that the text line came up with it. No offense, text line.
He should embrace it.
I'm
think?
Wondering if like somebody else says we're stealing that from elsewhere. No, I haven't heard it anywhere else.
Like
but
on Reddit or something.
Yeah, it's a that's a well,
it's
wait,
good.
Is that C-Rex or is that Godzilla?
That's Jurassic Park. That's the whole offensive line.
Oh,
if the defense could be the boogeyman a couple years ago, the old line could be Jurassic Park. Cole Strange could be like a Dilophosaurus.
Nice.
I don't know who your Brontosaurus might be. Maybe Onwenu.
And then you walk past the...
Who's your Velociraptor?
Ooh. Probably you'd be like a littler guy.
Yeah.
Maybe Bradbury.
Garrett Bradbury,
your center,
sure.
Your center's your Velociraptor.
Yeah. But then you walk past the big pile of dinosaur dung.
Yeah.
That nasty.
That would be well, it would gross be. Is what it would be.
It'd be an incredible scientific achievement, though.
Well, you know, they're bringing back.
I think they're
bringing back
close.
The dire wolves.
We're getting close to real Jurassic Park, right?
You're bringing back dire wolves.
You for it or against it?
For it.
Me too.
Love
yeah,
it.
Well, yeah.
Controversial
I'm for,
opinion.
I'm for
but...
bringing it back.
Yeah.
I'm not going.
And I've actually seen the end of these movies, so I should be against it.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I am for it.
They yeah, live. It's fine.
The people?
Sometimes.
Not
some
all of them.
Well, some of them.
Certainly not all of them.
Some of them.
Well, just don't be those guys.
If you're Grant, you're fine.
Newman went out. Newman, he died in that van or that Jeep.
Just learn how to tame the Velociraptors and you'll be fine.
That's true. You talk to him like a little clicker like Chris Pratt.
Mm-hmm.
You team up with him.
I haven't gotten to the new ones. That's what they're doing?
Jurassic World, yeah.
They're talking
and there's another. There's a new one on top of the new ones coming out this summer with Scarlett Johansson and Mahershala Ali. Another Jurassic
that's
World.
That's how Will Campbell has to communicate with Garrett Bradbury is what they got to do. On Jurassic Park, the offensive line, C-Rex if he's a left tackle or Godzilla if he's a guard.
Yeah, Jurassic World Rebirth comes out July 2nd. Maybe... You think Will Campbell will get free tickets?
I really think he should embrace all the short arms.
Sure.
Stuff.
He should be on the red carpet for that one, shouldn't he?
I think yeah, get
he
him out
be.
There.
Yeah.
Special thanks to Will Campbell for appearing in the film.
I would the mocap for the T-Rex.
I wouldn't wear the suit he was wearing last night, personally, on the red carpet. But, you know, I'm no snappy dress. Did they?
People did.
Which,
Twitter,
which
I think it was Twitter.
People love that?
It was Twitter approved last night.
Well, didn't some guy tweet at you, Jones? It was like, is he the low-key the sharpest dressed guy?
Oh, yeah. Somebody did tweet me that.
I'm no Melissa Rivers, but I would say it was fine. I have no idea.
Somebody
what's
said
good,
he was the
isn't.
Sharpest dressed at the draft, which was just clearly false.
I don't know. Did you see Travis Hunter?
Yeah, I did see Travis Hunter.
How could you miss it?
You see Maxwell Harrison?
Yes.
Yeah, nice.
He had to wait a little while,
he
but
did.
It was worth it.
A lot of energy.
It was funny how he was like greeting everybody as they were walking by him.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I was like, who is this guy? Just like high-fiving everybody walking out there.
Good clubhouse guy. That's why they invited him.
Did you notice who he had no interaction with when he walked by? Bad football character, Abdul Carter. I noticed there was no interaction with those two, and I said,
Abdul Carter almost dressed like Darth Vader. He was like...
he was close.
He was close, wasn't he? Because it was like not a normal jacket, but it was like all black sunglasses. I'm like, just pop the helmet
on. He's more Anakin than Darth Vader.
Yeah, he was. He was like in between.
Just go to the next level and pop the helmet on. What are you doing?
He was Revenge of the Sith style.
He had a sweet chain. His dad had
a
sweet chain.
Didn't he tweet out the back to tank? So he might have gone for it.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, oh, that's his nickname is Darth Vader. So I thought he was going to go full Darth Vader. Yeah, speaking of chains, you see Shedeur Sanders' chain?
I did.
How heavy
is that? Did anybody
see
Shedeur Sanders' chain?
What did you say?
Did anybody see it? We didn't get to see him wearing it.
Well, they did show him a few times. Oh, did you notice
they showed
this?
That empty couch a lot.
Did you notice this? At one point, they flashed to ESPN, flashed to Shedeur Sanders' draft party, and in the background, NFL Network was on, and you could see like Ian Rapoport, and then they immediately like froze and then they like cut it out
of
there.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
So they ditched out because he was watching the NFL Network.
Correct.
Interesting.
Yep.
With all of Dion's old pals from there.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. David is in Florida. Hello, David.
Hey, guys. How are you today? Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, no problem.
So I wanted to talk about yesterday, your episode. I thought it was absolutely excellent with wanting to take Ashton Jeanty in the first round. And I know we have Will Campbell, which I think will address the offensive line. But going forward to the second round for that 38th pick, I know that Ashton Jeanty is one of a kind, but I'm kind of thinking that maybe Trevion Henderson might be a really good look for us at that 38th pick. I know we have need at receiver, but I feel that if we can combine Trevion Henderson with Stevenson, maybe try to get something like what Detroit has with Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. I think there's a lot of comparison between Gibbs and Henderson, and I just think that that would be a great asset to our team to kind of get us rolling into this day of the draft.
So, David, it's interesting you bring him up. Keith, you had some running back targets on your top five remaining.
Yeah, definitely. I think Henderson would be great at 38, and if you could be patient, and if you could still get Cam Scataboo, who I know became like a sensation during the college football playoff and just the amount of times they give that guy the ball, I don't know if you'd want to go 38. That might be high for him. But if you can get him somewhere tonight, I would definitely add a running back. I mean, Ashton Jeanty is the best running back in the draft by far, in my opinion. I think your opinion as well.
Yep.
But there are still some other guys that could come in and help quite a bit. So, yeah, I'm all about offense. So there are a couple running backs I like. There's still some good receivers. I know as a Patriots fan, it's easy to get gun-shy about drafting receivers because as a franchise, they've been so bad. But we got to put that to the side a little bit and hope that Mike Vrabel is different than Belichick and Wolf. So, you know, the two kids from Iowa State, I'd be interested in either one of those as well. Something offense. Like at 38, if they don't trade it, I would go offense, offense, offense.
So I'm not the biggest Travion Henderson guy. My critique is that he's little, meaning light. Not short. He's light. He's like 202 pounds, something like that. But a comp, a high-end comp would be Jahmyr Gibbs. The caller's right about that. Since you brought up Scataboo, I love his numbers, Keith. 1,700, he was kind of a out-of-nowhere one-year wonder anyway in the Pac-12. His first year at Arizona Stadium produced like this. At Sac State before that he did. 1,711 yards, 21 touchdowns on the ground. He had another 605 and three touchdowns at Arizona State. Like, the guy was the offense.
A machine.
Now, would I take him at 38? Probably not, but I'd be very interested in taking him at some point. The running back that I like, and I'd have zero problem if they took him, Quinshon Judkins at 38. Mm-hmm. So Trevion Henderson's teammate out of Ohio State. I would prefer Luther Burden as a wide receiver, but running back is a need for me because I'm less sold than the caller on Ramondre Stevenson, certainly than Tom Curran is on Antonio Gibson, for instance. So Burden would be on my list at 38. That would be my top target. I like Will Johnson, too. Cornerback's not an immediate need, but I like him as well. Let's mix in a Celtics phone call. We haven't talked to any Celtics.
All
they
right,
play tonight. Brandon's waiting patiently in Connecticut. Go ahead, Brandon.
Hey, there's nothing.
Okay, so I think Brandon, we're gonna have to put you back on hold. That is, I'm more patient than most. With
sounds
the,
like he's in the back of the tank
with the crummy phones, believe it or not. But that one I can't let slide. So let's try to get him out of the back of the tank, to Keith's point, and get a little better service there, and we'll get Brandon back on. Chad is in Canton. Hello, Chad.
Chad?
Oh boy!
Now someone's playing games with the phones. Oh, there's Chad.
Hi, sorry. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we got you there, Chad.
All right, sorry. So earlier we were talking about linemen taken in the top five in the draft, and you guys were able to name about three or four of them. Couple off the top of my head that I can think of as busts: Matt Khalil, 2012, Minnesota Vikings, pick four. The one draft we had local, and I believe it was Eric Fisher went back to back in the first round.
Yeah, so I think the caller the caller had a timeline cutoff there, so you're going further
he
back.
Did,
than that
he also
was Matt Khalil that high of a pick?
Yeah, Matt Khalil was
USC?
The fourth pick in the draft.
Okay, so
by the Vikings.
Okay,
but like Lane Johnson was the fourth pick of the draft. If you open up to like sixth pick, which again I know five's the cutoff,
right?
And so five is, but you have guys like Trent Williams, who's going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
You have like Penei Sewell, who's like really, I know he's a right tackle, but he's very good.
Ronnie Stanley, who we all wanted this offseason. Yeah. So like, right, if you just opened it up to the top six. So anyway, my only takeaway from that caller. He said you want guys who score touchdowns or sack the quarterback in the top five. I would be totally fine with a left tackle.
Yeah.
If this guy's a left tackle. I'm not sure he's a left tackle. That's a significant caveat.
I also don't – yeah, I would take a left tackle. And the more you think about it, like, you wouldn't take Darrell Revis fifth overall. You know what I mean? Like, I would take a good – like an unbelievable corner.
Yeah,
I'd probably take
true.
Top five, I think.
Yeah, that's fair.
But, I mean, if you want to play that game,
I mean, look,
that's why each guy's different.
For God's sake, I'd take a running back in the top five. So I'd probably take anybody that I thought was good in the top five.
Well, they score touchdowns.
Oh, that's true. That does fit that criteria. Right. You're right. Yeah, touche. Jeanty scored quite a few.
They should. They should score a bunch.
Cam Scataboo scored a lot.
No, but that's like a – I guess that's a personal preference. But also, if you want to play that game, then you would just never draft anybody because there's plenty of quarterbacks that were busts in the number one overall. So does that mean you don't do that? Like, I don't know.
So, no, I think that – you're right. I mean, I think – I wouldn't be that limiting with a pick. A guard, though, would be my cut. A guard, I don't care how good they are.
Guard, I wouldn't do in the first round.
Them, I'm not taking.
Unless you are the Patriots, the year they drafted Mankins, where you had just about everything else, and then you said, hey, we're going to take him late, like dead last pick of the first round.
Maybe.
Then I would do it. Yeah. But like overall, yeah, my general philosophy would be no guards in the first round.
Right. You know, the Chiefs,
no,
the Chiefs are contending for a Super Bowl, and they're a guard away in the Mankins analogy.
Yeah.
Fine. At pick 32, I'll allow it. But yeah, not at four. 617-779-7937. Can I play something I didn't love? And can we jump one of these Vrabel comments, Nick, if you don't mind? Give me Vrabel 3 in a moment. I didn't love this story that came out yesterday from Jeremy Fowler that Well, Patriots brass traveled to Louisiana in recent days to work out offensive lineman Will Campbell, per sources. Now, he wasn't the only guy they worked out. I'm aware of that. They were kind of comparing, contrasting, working out other guys at the last moment. But to me, that tells me they did not have a ton of conviction. They weren't fully sold. Maybe some people in the building needed to be fully sold. So I thought that was interesting. Mm-hmm. And then Vrabel was asked about it last night after the draft, kind of when the Patriots were sold on Will Campbell. Here's what he had to say.
Mike, when and how did Will cement himself as the pick for you guys in this process?
Well, I mean, I think probably last week when Elliot and I and Ryan and a few others went down and spent time with him and worked him out, you know, and then went and worked out a few more players the same day. And we made a circuit. And you know, I think when we came back and we slept on it and had, you know, the conversations about where it would be if he was on the board. And, you know, I think probably then.
So they didn't know they wanted him until last week. like that to me just it doesn't mean he's going to be a bad player, but does that speak to a lot of conviction in the pick? Like, you've heard this. Mark Daniels has been real strong on this.
Yeah.
Oh, they visited him last year when he was at LSU, and Elliot Wolf was down there midway through this year, and this pick has been in the making for a long time. Vrabel told you
mm-hmm.
they weren't sold until last week. So I don't know. I wouldn't play up like they had full conviction in this guy. Because I don't think they did.
Yeah, do you think that was they were hoping that somebody else would fall to them, or they were also hoping that somebody would trade with them? Like, I don't know, like how I view that. Because I also think every team kind of does it a little bit different, mm-hmm. right? Like there was a stat going around that like every single quarterback that has been drafted in the first round like met with their team.
Took
or whatever.
A top 30 visit.
Yeah, almost all of them. Like there's very few exceptions.
Because like Hunter didn't take a top 30 with the Jaguars, right?
I was going to bring that one up. Yeah. Where they asked him, they're like, so what did Jacksonville tell you? He's like, I don't know.
I've talked to them since the combine.
Right. I actually don't think Jacksonville had a top 30 with anybody.
Oh, that's true. They're like the Rams. They don't do that.
So
that's true.
They did
that's
the
a good
Rams
point.
Thing.
That's a good
all
point.
Right, so maybe that is a little bit unique. But yeah, no, that is... Again, this is the first year we're seeing Vrabel run a draft. So, like, everything that he kind of does, this is going to be sort of, you know, ground zero for it. So then, like, next year, I think it'll be easier to sort of read into, all right, what does he mean? Who are they looking at?
Just don't tell me it was, like, no-brainer, ton of conviction. They decided last week. Vrabel just told you that. Meanwhile, this is a fun one, too. Will Campbell spoke about the visit, and I guess I missed this in real time, but I guess Pete Thamel had some tweet yesterday that Vrabel was on the field working these guys out.
Yeah.
So he was working out Will Campbell. How'd that workout go from Campbell's perspective?
And there's a report out there from Pete Thamel that he put Vrabel on his butt. Just curious on what it was like working out with your new head coach.
Yeah, I mean, it was amazing. You know, him and some of the other staff came in and, you know, we had a great workout, got some good work in. They taught me some new stuff. And yeah, I mean, I got him. I'm not going to lie. I got him on the ground. And then we had a great lunch after a bunch of great guys. I'm just super excited for this opportunity.
Okay. For me to get out there and feel him.
You pancaked him. You had a pancake. Take a pancake.
That was Vrabel's perspective on it. He wanted to get out on the field and feel
it. It's a good first step, right? If you can take down Vrabel, he hasn't played in the league in quite a long time.
He turns 50 in August, so he's a borderline old man. Then you got him on the ground. Good job.
Team Hall of Famer, though.
Team Hall of Famer, sure.
So you got to start somewhere. Yep.
Still in good shape.
Yeah. Vrabel? You don't think he's in good shape? Are you calling out his what kind of shape he's in?
He's a little bigger than his playing days.
Could be in his prime, though.
So that's even more impressive that he got him on the ground.
He was able to reach him.
Savvier.
He was able to get his hands on him. I chalk that up as a win.
It's a good point.
This is all positive. I mean,
the man's 50 in August, but you got him on the ground. Good for you. You're 20, whatever, 3.
21.
Yeah, 21. 21.
He's a young gun.
21.
He's 21 years old.
He can
get his first drink.
I like him a little more now.
He's a young gun.
I mean, look, all of his answers I like. I said this earlier.
No, he's a quote machine. I like all.
Nasty.
I like all of the stuff he says.
But, like, I get falling in love with that. Did the Patriots fall too much into or too much in love with the whole Will Campbell experience and kind of look over some of his deficiencies, like, I don't know, his short, teeny tiny little baby arms? Maybe.
Maybe.
Speaking of that, do you think this is going on, Keith?
What's going on?
Somebody said Campbell is probably listening to you guys to see how fans are reacting. You guys are probably making him cry harder than he did on stage last night.
Oh, stop. Stop. He obviously has a lot of confidence in himself, as he should. And, I mean, he can just go on Twitter and see what people are saying. Right. People were pretty mean on Twitter. You were among that group.
I just pointed out that with his teeny tiny little baby arms, he had trouble wiping his own tears.
I understand.
That was all.
I think he's going to be the starting left tackle. I think he's going to be a nice player.
He's been 14 years old. It's fine. He told us that.
Right. He's been hearing it.
Yeah, but he doesn't like it.
He's got his criticism.
He's got to lean in on it. He's got to be C-Rex and lean in on it and take our hate, my hate, and turn it back around on us.
I know.
But I do. It is possible he's on his way to Foxborough listening right now, Keith.
Let the hate flow through you.
With this whole family. Thing, like, I mean, there's a non-zero chance of that.
Imagine that being like what's your number one criticism for the last 7 years? People tell me I have short arms. Like, what? Yeah, you have short arms.
Was that in the yick bracket? Was short arms?
Short arms.
Short arms on a male. Was that in the yick bracket?
Should have been. That might win next year.
Absolutely should have been. Did they ever finish that?
There's actually 30.
Is there time to add that in? There might be time to add that in.
Final four starts tonight. You can take a look at it. Could be a late entry. Short arms.
Okay. 6 months.
Because remember when they drafted Kelly Olynyk?
Oh.
I mean, we were on the air together when they did that. Yes. And I was like, he was the T-Rex.
You nicknamed him
the T-Rex. He was a little guy.
Draft night.
Because wingspan is very important in the NBA. At least they would always measure that at their combine. And he had like a teeny tiny little wingspan.
Yeah. Kelly Olynyk.
But then he could
Will
one
Campbell,
bite a burrito.
Other short arm kings. Yeah, no, he could.
Olynyk, remember?
He would eat a burrito in one bite.
Which is wild.
Odd duck.
Grab a burrito today and then just open up the wrapper and try to one bite that. You'd kill yourself. That's insane.
Yeah,
that's a lot of food.
Yeah, but you're going out. but you're going out doing what you love.
No, that's true.
You know? Like, that's not a bad way to go out.
Eat a burrito?
Yeah, it's Chipotle.
Yeah.
It's a good way to go.
I guess.
I enjoy it.
Pay for the extra guac or no?
In that scenario, yes.
In that scenario.
Yeah, pony up.
One last
it.
Time.
Let's ride. 617-779-7937. Has Mike Vrabel, who's clearly in charge, done enough to fix the needs on this team? We'll get to that with all your phone calls right after Trend.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
With Bridget Prue.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app and take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
You're listening to Jones and Keith on WEEI.
You are Mr. Louisiana, but you just got a love letter from the New England Patriots. You haven't stopped smiling since you heard your name. What's behind that smile?
Man, just all the hard work.
Congratulations.
Be up here to be able to get my name called by a franchise like New England. It means everything to me.
We can feel that. We absolutely can feel that. Well, you are brought to New England to protect Drake May. What kind of tone are you going to set on this offensive line?
I'm going to fight and die to protect them with everything I've got.
Congratulations, Will.
Look, it's another answer we love from Will Campbell.
Yeah, he hasn't had a bad answer.
I do wonder if the Patriots, and I don't know, it's just something I'm curious about. Because when Vrabel's detailing all the things about Will Campbell that he likes, he starts with accountability and dependability and leadership and attitude. And I wonder if they skewed too far in falling in love with answers like that, which are great. Describe your playing style. It's nasty.
Nasty.
You know, people have been telling me I have short arms since high school. It's BS. All this, like, they're all great answers. I love all of those, in all honesty. But did they kind of talk themselves into him and believe in him because of that attitude? And is he going to be able to get by on that alone? I don't think so. I think you're going to need some of these measurables and some of these, physical gifts that I wonder if he has. So that would be my question. Did they kind of get... I used the word earlier, duped. Like, it makes it sound like Campbell's intentionally trying to trick him.
No. I think he's genuine.
But so do I. Did they, became intoxicated with, like, that level of stuff and more the culture and the leadership and, you know, the captain style attributes that he has versus the actual on-the-field stuff? I'm curious about that. We'll see.
No, and that's why I think it's, we take note of it. It's Mike Vrabel's drafts. And, from here, what are the ones in the future look like? Because there's also Did they draft him just because they love everything that he says and he's like the prototypical like football player mentality? The other one, which I wouldn't love, is did they just draft him because he's a left tackle? And is it just need? And I know Vrabel had that good line about how like you want to blend the two. You want like best player available and fits a need. And maybe he is. Maybe after Carter and Hunter went off the board, maybe they did have him as the top guy on their big board. We don't know the answer to that. I would hope that it is. And I would hope that, you know, the fact that he is a left tackle and the fact that he is like a great guy by all accounts, that's great. That should be like a bonus to the fact that he's the best player available to you.
Right. That would be like a tiebreaker between him and Abdul Carter. They both have all the physical measurements, and it's like one guy loves football, great attitude. One guy has questionable football character. So that's a tie. That would be like a tiebreaker in that scenario.
Well, put it on your list. And Vrabel did say that at one point. Like he interrupted a question.
Can't win with all good guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I can't just be good guys. Like football player first.
Well, I know what he said.
No, I know.
And
but
then it's
I'll tell you,
I'm curious if he said one thing and now they're doing another, but we'll see. We'll ultimately find out.
If they did not sign Steph Diggs, who I'm glad they signed. I have no idea when he'll be ready, but I'm glad that they brought him in because that is a talent first guy. Mm-hmm. If they didn't do that, I think there might be more questions about, man, they're just trying to assemble a bunch of easy guys to work with. There's going to be a challenge, perhaps, with somebody like Steph Diggs. So the fact that they went out on a limb like that makes me feel a little bit better about, you know, the guys they take tonight and tomorrow.
So my favorite exchange last night with Vrabel was Bedard. And I think excellent question by Greg Bedard. He says, look, if this guy's a guard, I think you'll hear it in here. If this guy's a guard, is it a misevaluation? And Vrabel gets a little angry. Chastises a little bit, a little finger wag by the end of it.
All right.
Let's listen to that exchange.
If Will eventually has to move inside, is this a misevaluation this high in the draft at fourth overall?
You know, I think that what we're focused on is where he's going to be tomorrow and the next day and not what the misevaluation is. Like we coveted this player. This was a very good football player. And so I think part of the draft is adding – great pieces and great players to your roster, which is what we did. So he hasn't even shown up here in Foxborough, and we're not going to talk about where he's going to play or what he's going to do. I'm going to let everything really speak for itself and let his play and what he does in the community and most importantly on the field before we start talking about that. You know, I mean, I just think that that's not fair. I've never thought about that one time. You know, we've watched every game that he's played. Put a lot of work into this, and we're all excited and happy that he's here.
That's not fair.
It's fair. It is fair.
That's an unfair question because what? Because it's his draft night. We can't ask if maybe he's a guard, and that would be a bust of a pick. That's an unfair question.
Yeah, that's. I don't love the answer because of all the praise about Will Campbell from Mike Vrabel, which you should have a lot of praise. The fourth pick in the draft, for God's sakes, you should really like the player. There, it's like he's a good football player. Is he a good left tackle?
Yeah.
Is he your future left tackle? And you can't admit that if you move him to guard, it's not as important. I mean, everybody knows left guard not as important as left tackle. Take a look at all the salaries around the league at those two positions.
I think you answered it best earlier when we played this. It's he doesn't want to be on record saying, yes, that's a misevaluation if he's not a tackle.
Because the second they do, we can throw that in his face. Well, so maybe he's being protective of that.
And
although,
but that also tells you he's fearful of the guy having to move to guard.
Yeah.
Which he should be.
It wasn't like this big defense of we drafted a left tackle, he's a left tackle. So I don't really love that. Like they kind of leaving the door open to like, oh, let's get him in here and see where he plays. Like you wouldn't say that about Ashton Jeanty or Abdul Carter.
No.
Let's get him in and see where they play. He's running back, it's a pass rusher. It's pretty easy. You know, Mason Graham, we know where he's going to play. And this one's like, well, we're going there
and compete.
We're glad we got a good football player.
He was a left tackle at LSU. Well, great. A lot of guys were college tackles and have to move to guard. Like a lot of guys.
Guards, I mean, really don't often get drafted in the first round. You can find a few. You know, Quentin Nelson obviously was a stud. Patriots did it a couple of times to mixed results. But for the most part, they don't go. Last night, I guess there was probably a couple. A
couple of guards went. Booker went and Zabel went. Another one, too. Who am I missing?
Zabel was, what, 18th?
Zabel, Booker, Jackson. Jackson went 24, I think.
Yeah, Booker did go 12, which was kind of a surprise.
Not a good pick.
I agree. So I don't like it. I'm saying, like, so he went, but it seemed pretty dumb.
Let me give you these Giardi numbers again because they're good. Giardi says there were only six starting tackles with sub 33-inch arms last year, which this would be the case with Will Campbell.
Yes.
He says the best of the bunch, Bernhard Raimann, Braden Smith, Caleb McGarry, Luke Godke, Kendall Lamb, and Alaric Jackson. None have been All-Pro or even a Pro Bowler.
Okay.
Then he follows up from a reader, Keith.
Yes.
A reader.
I know.
Like, this is not the Giardi Stats and Info.
He should have just said that.
This is the Giardi. This is BSJ commenter chirping Giardi here.
Okay.
Of the 164 offensive linemen drafted in the first two rounds since 2011, 164 O-linemen first two rounds in the last 14 years, 26 had both an arm length of 33 inches or shorter, as well as a wingspan of 80 inches or shorter, the measurables of Campbell. So out of those 160, only 26 even have those measurables drafted in the first two rounds in the last 14 years. Only three became a starting tackle. All were right tackles. So put another way, out of those 164 players drafted in the first two rounds since 2011, only 26 had those measurables. Only three were tackles. None were left tackles. Those are the odds stacked against Will Campbell. It doesn't mean he can't do it.
But he'd be the first.
Do you want to make that bet? Like, that's really the question. Do you want to make that bet?
No.
And if he's a high-level guard, does that make it a worthwhile pick at four? Both of our answers to that is no.
No on guard. And then at left tackle, that's what you're banking on. You have to hope that he is one of one. He becomes the first Will Campbell to do this.
Let me present one more scenario, and then we'll go back to the calls. Because you started to hear this. And I think, again, it's the Patriots know he's not a long-term tackle. I think the Patriots know that because you hear it from people like Bedard.
Yeah.
And he wrote this weeks ago. He's like, well, I mean, the Commanders had to move Brandon Coleman from left tackle to left guard.
And
if they did it, then you can do it. Well, first of all, he was a third-round pick. But would you be okay with 1 year, it upgrades the left side of the line, and then eventually you have a replacement and he kicks inside to guard? Would that make it worth it at four?
No.
He's a one-year starter at tackle, but a long-term guard.
No, I need him to
me
be
neither.
Multi-years. I mean, five minimum. Like, you know, first-round pick, you have the guy for 5 years. You know, Nate Solder was a first-round pick. He was never a Pro Bowler, but he was the starting left tackle on two Super Bowl-winning teams.
I like this comp.
He was there for 7 years. Then you made the decision that you didn't want to give him the huge payday that he got with the Giants. Fine. That was your assessment. That's what you did. But he was your pencil him in. Yeah, there'd be sure, he'd give up a sack here and there, whatever. But starting left tackle for 7 years here, that was a good – that was a good first-round pick.
I like that comp. And their frames are very different. Like, Solder was a Giant.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're different, but
he had 84-inch wingspan.
If Will Campbell has Nate Solder's career, where he's a high-level, not elite, not even Pro Bowl left tackle, but he's a long-term starter for you, then this is a worthwhile pick.
Mm-hmm.
There might be better players taken after him, but it's a good pick. It won't be a bust. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of what we're talking about. Let's go back to the phones. Brandon's in Connecticut on Tatum again. Are you still there, Brandon?
Yes, I'm still here.
Go ahead.
All right, good.
Thanks for having me, guys. I just want to say, you know, Tatum being out tonight, and, you know, I know we're going on the road and we're the best road team in the season, but I think it's really up to Jaylen Brown to step up. You know, I know he stepped up before in the past, and he can do what he needs to do and perform at that excellent level, but the only thing that worries me is, can he be consistent with, you know, Tatum being out for who knows how long now, and, you know, we're going on the road.
Well, and the question too, Brandon, I'm sorry to cut you off, is also, is Holiday going to play? So I just checked. I think me and you both did the exact same thing. I was like, did I miss Tatum getting ruled out?
He's not officially out.
He's not. He's still doubtful.
Yeah.
Holiday and Brown are both questionable. So, yeah, I mean, can Jaylen Brown, if Holiday and Tatum were both to miss, can Brown do what he did again? Would certainly be something worth watching.
Did you notice that Brown was added to the injury list?
Yeah.
Wasn't on it yesterday.
I was just going to say, I don't think he was on yesterday.
No, he was.
He was not.
That's odd. We knew that he was dealing with a knee injury.
A knee impingement.
But then he played great in game two, and he looked awesome. And now he pops up on the list, too?
Don't love it.
No?
Josh is in Dallas. Hello, Josh.
Josh?
Hey, yes, I'm here. You hear me?
Yeah, sound great.
Hey, good morning. I was going back to the Vrabel situation. I wanted to let the world know. I believe he told his first lie to us. Because he told us that he wanted elite players. You couldn't win with good players. But then with the interview I just got done playing, he just told us that he drafted a good player. And he doesn't know if he's going to be a good left tackle, if he got to push him in a guard.
So, Josh, I'm with you on this. When Vrabel made his opening statement, he ticked through dependable,
yeah.
Reliable, leader. It wasn't a lot of even what Will Campbell said about himself. Nasty and, you know.
Yeah.
It wasn't a lot of football stuff. It was a lot of those intangible things.
Like, we got our starting left tackle.
So, right.
Nasty.
So he said at one end of his mouth, well, you can't just win with all good guys. And then basically his defense in his opening statement, or that's this is what you think before you're asked anything direct, he was like, well, we got a good guy.
I know. It's like he's trying to, it's like not putting any expectations on him. Yeah. It's like, well, too bad. You're the fourth pick in the draft. There's going to be a ton of expectations on you.
Yeah. I mean, the best you can do is turn around and be like, guys, it was a bad draft. What were we supposed to do? Don't put any expectations
on
him.
We wanted to get out, but we were stuck here.
The draft stinks. Don't put any expectations on
him. He does the shrug emoji, but it's like just hands out instead of like arms out. It's like really the Will Campbell shrug.
Now, see, now why do you got to?
No, I just I got swept up in it.
I don't know why you got to take shots.
I saw that on Reddit.
At his arm length.
There he is showing up at Foxborough.
He should be arriving shortly.
Yeah, but that people
the whole Campbell family, if you're listening,
people are making it out to be an insult. Like, but last I checked, a Tyrannosaurus Rex, top of the food chain.
This is what I'm telling you. Lean in on being the Sea Rex.
Yeah, yeah.
Lean in on it.
Sure.
Embrace it.
Because those guys, I mean, until
don't
the
fight
ice age,
embrace it.
You know, outside of an ice age happening or a meteor,
yeah,
badass.
Yeah, if a meteor takes you out,
they were like the original
genetically modified dinosaurs. We found out
the original king of the jungle.
Yeah, seriously,
the Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Yeah, on the planet,
bigger jaws.
Yeah,
yeah,
huge teeth.
Oh,
on
I
them.
Thought that was like a new. I thought I was getting another question. Who has bigger jaws? I'm sorry,
a T Rex.
No.
Yeah,
or... no, I'm calling the genetically modified T Rex bigger jaws because it's essentially what he is.
Nice. Well, so I think you should lean in on it. I'm with you, Keith.
Yep.
Being a Tyrannosaurus Rex really should not be an insult.
Oh, they should get him doing ads for the Science Museum. Like, he should really, like, lean in.
Hold that. Yep. And now that's your power now, if you hold on to that.
I like it.
617-779-7937. We'll continue with your feedback. And it's a Friday, which means we will review the week in the Week in Review next.
Watch us. Love us. Just follow WEEI on Twitch. Jones and Keefe.
On WEEI. It's certainly been a week.
Yeah, why don't you feel him out here, Keith?
Here's some of the best.
Get the chainsaw!
There's a whale at the compound! Get the chainsaw! Get everybody pile in the minivan, we're going!
And worst...
You guys are as bad as the announcers.
It's Jones and Keefe's Week in Review.
The guy sucks! Get him out of here!
On WEEI.
What a week it has been here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI, and we start with something that might make you feel a little bit better, Jones, about Will Campbell.
Oh.
This was a couple of days ago, and obviously the signs were pointing towards the Patriots drafting Will Campbell. Well, I stumbled upon a story about Will Campbell that I think is going to sway some people.
Okay.
So Will Campbell didn't dress for a high school playoff game his senior year because of a pulled groin.
Soft.
His team was losing.
Uh-huh.
So he got dressed under the stadium at halftime and asked to enter the game in the third quarter. He told his dad and coach, quote, just let me go one drive and see how I feel.
So here's,
and then I didn't come out, uh-huh, and they won the game. Uh-huh. It's like when Bobby Boucher showed up at halftime of the Bourbon Bowl and led the SCLSU Mud Dogs to a Bourbon Bowl victory. This is exactly like that. And you'd take Bobby Boucher at four.
Yeah, I would.
Holy smokes.
I'd take him at one.
He had like 15 sacks in the game.
Yeah. No, I mean, you took the words out
Bobby
of my mouth.
Bobby Boucher should have been the number one pick. Will Campbell hurt. Pulled his groin. I started that story. I'm like, this doesn't make me feel any better. But then he inserted himself into that game.
There's so
they
much
ignored
I need.
The doctor.
A throwing touchdown. Though. Bobby Boucher does have a throwing touchdown.
No, I mean, we're no one's saying we're taking Campbell over Bobby Boucher.
No.
That's
Bobby Boucher,
not what we're
saying. One of the great guys.
We're just saying this is like, it's Bobby Boucher like.
It's similar to Bobby Boucher.
Remember when Bobby Boucher showed up at halftime and the Mud Dogs won the Bourbon Bowl? Do
that was Will Campbell in high school. And they won that game. Put me in for one drive. Run behind me, coach. Both from Louisiana.
How about that?
So.
You connect the dots. No,
you feel a little bit better?
I honestly do. After hearing that, I had kind of forgotten about that story from earlier in the week. I do feel better about the selection of Will Campbell at four.
It was a pretty spicy Bruins press conference today.
Oh,
went
for sure.
Damn near an hour, and Cam Neely was getting a little prickly, and even at the end, kind of called one of the media members into his office, which led to a pretty good what if.
Better.
You also mentioned at the very end of the press conference, Cam Neely gets up and kind of signals to somebody.
If you want.
A dead man. Hit me with a salt shaker.
If you want the video, our pals, What Chaos, Deej and Pete.
Yep.
They have a video of Neely after the press conference looking at a reporter and giving him one of the,
come with me,
I want to talk to you. Giving him one of those.
If that was directed towards you, are you going in an office with Cam Neely?
No.
He would pummel you.
Well, I wouldn't.
You'd go in there and be like,
I wouldn't without a giant poop in my pants. I wouldn't go in with clean underwear.
Shut
I can tell
door,
you that. Yeah.
Puts the blinds down. Turns the security camera off. I'm like, what are you doing, huh? Hey, Cam, what's happening here?
Hey, Cam,
what's going on here?
Whoa.
What's going on here? Yeah. Can I turn my phone on?
He's like, no.
Give me your phone.
I'm recording this.
Give me your phone.
I don't consent to any of this.
I have a camera on me at all times.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's hidden in my hat. So yeah, that could have gone south.
Closes the blinds and turns off the security
What's happening
camera.
Here?
You're like, what is this?
What's happening? Another great week for calls here on the program. Here's a quick caller medley for you.
Ooh. David's in Rhode Island. Hello, David.
Backing up a truck.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I'm on the road all the time, every day.
Nice.
So anyway, thanks for taking my call. What I wanted to weigh in on, if I could,
sure.
is two things. First of all, I like your show. Thank you. I'm glad to see Gresh. I'm glad to see, I'm sorry, Keith. I'm glad to see you back on the daytime where I can hear you in my commute.
No doubt.
Thank you so much. So
You're
listen,
welcome.
I know the Missoula family from growing up.
Right.
I knew Joe's father and uncle. So
Double
I grew up in the town next to Johnston. They are beloved. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I said that's good. Good stuff.
Triple brag is what he said. You know these gentlemen in the town next to
Johnson.
Yes. Jacob is in the car. Hello, Jacob.
Oh, all right. I have 2 points that prove your everything's an inside job theory wrong. Can I go on the clock? All right. We all know the Pope died late Sunday, early Monday, and Nick Castellanos didn't hit a home run. Kind of fishy. He always hit the home run when a tragedy happens. I always thought the 2 for Tuesday was an inside job. I ended up winning yesterday. I'm going May 3rd against the Twins with my cousin Scott. So to everyone listening, keep dialing. You'll get it. Thank you very much.
Two for Tuesday.
Yeah.
He thought it was a sham. It's legit.
No,
we do give away tickets to the Red Sox every Tuesday.
It was a very, very impressive way to blow up my everything is an inside job theory. Good job.
This next one may have really upped the stakes when it comes to bets, maybe show bets.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure.
So my Rockets pick, they need to win this one. They need to at least split the first two games. They're down
at home.
1-0.
Yeah, I would say they're going to need that because that we
they
weren't
need
sure.
This one.
We weren't sure if it was a buyer's opportunity or a sucking bet, sucker bet.
Excuse me. I'll take that.
Yeah, no, I would. That's definitely the one.
Where's
I would
the
go.
Line?
A sucker's bet. Excuse me. To get Houston plus money.
Lord. Grab bag is now NSFW.
When we lose a bet. Those are the new stakes on this show.
Grab bag.
No bet. No bet.
No,
no bet for
that's
me.
Not as bad as the Christian Yelich.
not going down that road.
Yeah.
Got a little out of hand.
No, it's high
a
on
little
that
out of hand.
Level of stakes, but it's not the Yelich home run bet, no.
And then finally, Chris Scheim, WEEI's draft expert, was in with us yesterday, and he had an opportunity to grade someone's draft plan.
Oh, yeah, this is good. We'll have Scheim grade your draft plan. You can go on the clock. You can have 30 seconds. Let's start with John in Rhode Island. You're on the clock, John.
Hey, guys. Happy draft day. We made it. It's like Christmas in April. Listen, my draft plan is we need 2 players tonight. I don't care the order. We need 2 starters, whether it's a running back and a guard, a running back and a tackle, a receiver and a tight end, a running back and an O-line. 2 players tonight. I'm happy, and we celebrate with our pants off.
All right, maybe landed it there at the end. Now, he wasn't very specific
there
on the players.
A lot of specifics.
So
not
I
a
guess
lot of details.
Great, kind of an incomplete, not to steal. I don't, you can grade the plan.
I thought Shine was grading.
No, I know, but kind of incomplete.
Yeah.
But 2 players.
Yeah,
I
no,
didn't
no.
think about two
he,
players.
He turned it in, so I'll give him a C+.
Okay, good. Jacob.
I do. I
wow.
do.
Turn it in gets turn a C+ from
well, yeah.
Professor Shine.
Yeah, take because
class.
He's wow. right.
We did get a bunch of texts after that of people trying to one-up that caller by saying, 3 players.
Yeah, smart.
You
very smart.
3 players.
No, but then, like, 2 plans later, Scheim, somebody turned it in and he gave it a C-. It's like, I thought you were getting a C+ for turning it
I
in.
I don't think we should have had Scheim grade anything, is what I'm starting to think.
We didn't talk that one out
no.
fully
no, no,
before
no.
we did it.
There you
no,
go. There's your weekend review.
I don't appreciate
what
the
Twitch. What a weekend chat. What's the problem?
I appreciate the Twitch chat.
What?
Saying, oh, Scheim's a draft expert. He's one of the big 5.
Yeah.
Kuiper, McShay, Jeremiah, Schrager, Scheim.
Does he do a mock draft?
Yeah.
Does he do 4 of them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, he also did the what he would do mock. He almost did 5.
Did he host a draft show?
Yeah, all night.
Okay.
You're going to hear their reaction to the selection last night. They were not thrilled.
I mean, I don't know what makes you more of an expert than that.
Yeah. You can take that up with Chris Scheim, I guess. 617-779-7937. That's the week in review here on Jones and Keefe. We'll get back into the pick last night. What else happened in round one, including should the Patriots have moved up for Travis Hunter? The Jaguars did it. The Patriots could have too. Should they have? We'll get to it with your phone calls next.